like four of them.
So your stylus is neither stylish nor a stylist.
No, I can stylus with it. It's not a stylish stylus.
I think my brain broke. Greetings, Afroposse, and buckle up for the sex. It is the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Yay. With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
What are y'all drinking tonight?
Oh, bloody hell. I'm drinking, you're going to be shocked, but it's a wine.
What?
That I got from Naked Wines.
What?
I am shocked.
I know. It's a, and I pre-gamed, so
what?
I might be silly.
Oh.
This is a Scott Peterson, and it's called Rox. R-O-X. It is a red blend with no tasting notes.
Okay.
And it has a very high tannin content.
So what we know is it is wine and it is red. And that is
it is wine, it is red. I think
and that's it.
I appreciate them not bullshitting us.
Yeah, it tastes kind of Pinot Noir-y. Mm-hmm.
There is no pretension about this wine whatsoever. It's just, red, it will fuck you up. That's
yeah, it was basically have some wine, and I was like, yep, that's must be.
Perfect.
But it is very high in the tannin content. Mm. I am just like, my mouth is just like, oh my god. Like, you know how you get super high tannins
yeah,
in your mouth?
To, like, drink
like
some
a
water.
Sour pucker almost, yeah, right?
Need, like a water chaser for your wine.
Yeah, so if tannins are your thing, the Rox by Scott Peterson would be right up your alley. For me, I'm like, yeah, that's a little tanniny for my taste, but it's still definitely drinkable. Mm. I think that's what I like about wine is that I don't think there's really bad wine.
Oh, yes, there is.
Okay, well, I haven't
yes,
had...
there is.
I take that back. Like, you can buy bad wine, but normally when you're buying wines, like, you know when you're buying a bad wine. Mm-hmm. Like, when you get a wine in the discount bin at, like, Chicago Lake Liquors,
yep.
You know there's a good likelihood that might be a bad wine.
Probably a bad wine.
Right. If it's under $10, you're like, I might be gambling a bit here. If you find a wine for under $5, that's mm-hmm. questionable. But, like...
Some wines are destined to be opened later in the evening, I feel.
Right. But, like, overall, like, that's... It's got a... If you're getting a wine, it is... And you know, you're not...
That's the wine you serve to guests that have overstayed their welcome.
So us.
Yes.
Ooh. But yeah, like this particular wine is not bad. It's just not my thing.
Cool. All right.
If that makes sense. Like, I mean, I give it a C- for me personally. Okay. It might be somebody else's A.
Fair enough. Although with a description of red and no tasting notes, I doubt it.
I appreciate them not blowing smoke.
Yes.
Right. And this might be the one that I got free with my last bulk purchase.
So. I got it free with a pair of shoes.
Oh, goodness.
Ooh, I need a pair of shoes.
James, what are you drinking?
We stopped by the usual liquor spot where we often purchase for Bryn soju, which is a common alcoholic beverage of Korea. Hmm. And the lovely folks who own the place pointed out to me when I was in there today that they actually have a few new flavors of soju.
Oh.
Including ginger soju. So what I hold in my hands is imported Hanjan Ginger Sensible Choice Hanjan charcoal filtered for refreshing and clean tastes.
Ah, soju bought
apple
some.
Wine with. Yes, apple wine with natural flavor, product of South Korea. Government warning. According to the Surgeon General, women, blah, 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 blah. Yep, all right. The tasting right. notes are, here is a picture of whole ginger root.
All right.
That's
that. That's, that. That looks like whole ginger root.
We're about to find out.
Yeah. So.
Well, I.
How is it?
Tastes of ginger.
All right, then.
It's not like
as advertised.
Yeah, it's not like somebody fashioned a hank of ginger into a baseball bat and then hit you in the mouth with it. It's very subtle. I would say it's less gingery than ginger ale.
Hmm. Depends on the ginger ale.
It's sure. It's very definitely gingery.
Hmm. Okay.
That cool. I think that sounds very palate cleansing for like. Oh. While eating sushi or something.
Yeah. Yeah, this would actually, this would, I mean, it's, that's mixing a lot of different places, but yes,
I'm
not telling you anything that you don't know.
I threw sushi out there as the first thing that popped into my head, but you know,
this would go well with sushi.
As a nice palate cleanser for, you know, whatever it is you may be eating.
Yeah. Sushi is often served with pickled ginger, and this is ginger that will get you pickled.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Yay!
Well, I am drinking, well, I made limoncello and and orangecello. And that is not...
A couple of lime violins.
That is not what I am drinking.
Oh, what? Oh. This is a James story that you're telling right now. I need you to know.
Okay. No, so I made limoncello and orangecello, and I made two bottles of each. And I had posted about it on, you know, on the Book of Face to, you know, the world that, hey, I made this thing, and they were delicious. And a friend of mine said, ooh, that sounds really good. Would you trade a bottle of your homemade limoncello for a homemade bottle of Makrut limecello? And I said, yes, that does indeed sound like something that I would do. And so I have my bottle of Makrut limecello. And that is what I am sipping right now.
Well, all right. And how is it?
Delightful. It is very floral in the aroma. And it's quite sweet. Which is okay. I like it that way.
Fair enough.
And it's very refreshing. I'm enjoying it a great deal.
Awesome.
So what y'all been up to?
I want to share with you guys a headline that I saw.
Okay.
Is that there is a detective that is divorcing his wife after seeing her with another man at the Capitol riots.
Wow, there's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
You know, right?
That's a whole episode. That would be two episodes of House of Cards.
Like, there is...
Oh, wow, yeah.
There, at first, right. Finding out that your spouse is a red hat, and second, finding out that they're with someone else.
Right. Like, I think I would be like, okay, yeah, another dude, whatever. But really, you were at the Capitol for the riot?
Like, seriously.
Fucking kidding me? No, I'm done. Like, yeah, I think that would definitely be my wife.
Yeah, I'm unsure of this person's priorities.
I'm pretty sure of my priorities.
The wife? I'm pretty sure the priorities are...
You had a...
I got mine.
Date like that?
Oh, I thought you meant the detectives.
Uh-huh.
As to which one he would find more bothersome.
I really don't know what to do with detective stories if it doesn't involve a long hallway filled with doors that people are constantly going into and out of. while Yakety Sax plays, or a song from Scooby-Doo.
I don't trust a detective story that doesn't begin with "she walked in one leg at a time."
Ooh, I like that. I think I'm with Salsa on this one.
Salsa, I really feel like
some smoky saxophone music in the background would also help.
Oh, a different smoky saxophone.
Nope, that's what popped into my head too. I'm not gonna lie.
Salsa, I really feel like you might enjoy Steve Martin and Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid.
I keep meaning, like, it's one of those movies people are like, you should see this. And I'm like, you're right, I should, and then I don't.
I don't know that I can recommend it to anybody other than Salsa. But it's so...
Okay.
It's,
no, it's, I already understand. It's fine.
An hour and a half clip show of famous and infamous film noir movies. Just segments out of them. Mm-hmm. And they use camera angles and other things in order to create the illusion that Steve Martin is in these movies. It's Kung Pao Enter the Fist, but funnier to me. Like, it's more my style of comedy. Mm-hmm. And instead of using computer graphics to superimpose Steve Martin into the shots, they're just using clever camera angles and things like that.
Sure.
That
sounds interesting. I may have to give that a look.
But yeah, the frame story is incredibly stupid. The jokes are very, very dumb.
Is it like Naked Gun level?
I would say it's classier than that.
Okay.
I would say it's not quite, you know, Airplane, Top Secret, Naked Gun, Hot Shots level of stupid jokes. Yeah. Like, some woman that he's courting.
Well, you don't need to, you know, give the whole, I think we understand.
No, I'm not. It just, but for example, she says, I'm going to, I'm looking for someone to kiss, and because he has to go and get something, he's like, well, don't start without me. I guess it's just like weird.
I think it had to be
sort
there.
Of surreal humor. Yeah.
I think it's probably a very contextual movie.
Yeah, I think we'll just have to see it to get it.
All right. Maybe we'll do that as a group.
Field trip.
Yeah.
Once we can finally go places.
Speaking of which.
What?
When it is my turn, I have a thing.
I don't know that it's not your turn. I don't know that it's anybody's turn. I just had to interrupt with that headline real quick because it was on my brain.
All right.
Gotcha.
Well, I guess James has a thing to say, so we'll go with him now.
All right.
Hey, James.
Yeah.
Say something.
Hey, James.
Something.
James.
Yes, also.
What you been up to?
Oh. So this weekend, I listened to about 12 hours of the audiobook Ready Player 2 because I needed something to do while I was standing in line to get a vaccination.
Oh, good on you.
Yeah. I was sent information on a clinic that was doing overflow vaccinations. I went the first day and they... Went the first day, stood in line for 7 hours. Went the second day, stood in line for, you know, however long, what, four or five hours. Because they were pulling people out and bringing them over to another line of people who fit within categories and things like that. The first day, they never said anything that included me in my hearing. The second day, they were like, if you have blah, 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 or asthma, and I was like, up here. Yeah. Because that was the thing. Yeah, I have a prescription. I definitely do have asthma. But it would have been very easy to go over to the other line for any number of reasons.
Right.
But I didn't feel right stepping in front of other people who would be there. I felt more legitimately.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or so, just more in need. I don't think legitimacy really factors into it. Just more in need. We all legitimately need to be vaccinated.
Yeah.
Like, yes. Yeah. That is a good point.
We both know what we're saying. All three of us, I should say.
But I was waiting for them to say
James
something that very specifically. No, I never do. Why is that different? It's not even worth mentioning. What the hell, salsa? So, they said people with asthma, and I was like, yeah, that's me. Went over to the other line. They pulled me in, and I got jabbed in the arm with a vaccine, and that's
it. Which one did you get? Good.
Yes, what flavor?
The left one.
Which one?
The left arm.
What flavor?
Oh, okay. That's entirely what I was asking.
I got the Moderna vaccine.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to keep opening packets to see if I can find the foil Charizard or the Pfizer vaccine.
Keep testing your G5 signal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've got the G5 chip now.
Supposed to bump that up.
How,
I know.
How often do you need to get software updates on that chip?
I mean, I assume that it's out of date immediately.
Right.
And just
but
declines.
But in a few weeks, you're going to get an update, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, so. I'm hoping, yeah. I'm actually, like, the thing is, I know that we joke about it and that's like a big funny thing in response to this asinine assertion of anti-vaxxers and conspiracy wang jobs, but I don't know. I'm just exhausted. I'm too exhausted by that bullshit to... Right.
So I should say something controversial right now, James.
You can. I just
he just might not engage.
Well, okay, that's
I'm
fair.
Getting vaccinated. One of the side effects of these vaccines, in particular, is that it's you feel a little out of it. You're a little bit of a space cadet for a day or two, and your arm is sore, and maybe you have cold-like symptoms, and those things are true.
And also, apparently, you grow an extra thumb. Put it away, James.
I mean, it's not even
that's
the size
not
of a thumb. That, too.
No, that's way bigger than that. We know that.
Oh, right. Okay. No, I am going to say something that, here's the thing. I have a fear of needles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right? And I'm not saying I'm not getting a vaccine. Like, I'm not – no, obviously I'm going to get vaccinated. And I will, at the end of the day, get vaccinated. However, I'm going to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
However, I personally, due to my difficulties in having needles in my body in any way, shape, or form in the first place, am hoping to – find a way to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just one jab as opposed to two.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's very specifically also taking into account the fact that I've probably already had COVID before.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I don't know exactly how that works, but it seems more likely that like getting the Johnson & Johnson is going to be more effective for me than it might be for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I think given my druthers, that's probably the best option for me as a person.
That's fair.
And I am willing to wait a bit to have this done because I have set up a scenario in which I have a very specific bubble. I have not. I might start doing some more social distance stuff as the weather gets better. But I don't go out. I work from home. Mm-hmm. I go shopping in 2-week increments very specifically to make sure that if somebody in my shopping group gets COVID, we're able to see those symptoms
right
from one time to the next, mm-hmm. right? Like, super careful about this stuff. So I think that for my specific scenario, holding out a bit, making sure that other people that are more in need have that available to them. I also don't want vaccines to go to waste, so I have some concerns with my plan on that aspect of it. Because one of the reasons why they have these stand in line and see if you can get one is to make sure that no vaccine goes unused, mm-hmm. right? But I think that taking all of the factors into account, seeing if there's a way that I can get the Johnson & Johnson and being willing to wait for one, if that's a thing,
mm-hmm.
makes more sense in my situation. Mm-hmm. And if at the end of the day, there's no way for me to actually get one, like after, you know, another month or two, and they're just like, nope, still no way. I'm like, all right. Like, you suck it the fuck up and you do what you need to do for the good of mm-hmm. God and country.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God, country, and yourself. But yeah, like, that's my current mm-hmm. place of existence.
Sure.
And I know that that's controversial for some people to be like, not just jumping at every single possible chance to get a vaccine. I think another factor for me specifically is that due to how my mental capacities work, I can't jump at every single chance. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I am bad at last minute schedule changes in the first place. Not knowing what's going on a consent. Like, I could do a couple of them. I could go to a couple of them mm-hmm. and just whatever. But the longer that went on, the more it would actually mess with my mood stability.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, I think everybody's in a slightly different place. Mm-hmm. I think there's only one mm-hmm. wrong answer, and that answer is to just not get vaccinated. And to mm-hmm. be shitty about precautions when you're unvaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
That's the wrong answer. Everything else is getting a vaccine, and that's fine.
No, I'm honestly in a similar boat. Not with the, you know, waiting until a specific one, but with the, I work from home. I don't leave this house. I take my daughter to hockey practice, but mm-hmm. I drop her off and then wait in the car.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not going places. So I'm not in a rush. You know,
right.
There are other mm-hmm. people who are returning to work who are in places where they need to be out in public. For various
yeah.
reasons, whether it be for work yeah. or just going to the grocery store or whatever, those people need it more than I do right now. when I get my email saying this is available for you, I will go and I will get my
right.
jabs and I will be happy about it. But mm-hmm. Until that moment happens, I don't need to rush. And so I
yeah.
will wave my spot in line to somebody who needs it more than I do.
Well, and for me, completely aside from my desire to see partners mm-hmm. that aren't
right.
in my household or,
say, like,
you know, friends and things like
your
that.
Your bubble need is a portion of that, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And Salsa has no bubble need.
No,
he hates
God,
people.
No.
But
way happy. Not yeah. increasing
but
the
like,
size of his
like,
bubble.
Like my wife. She has to go back to in-person teaching on Monday.
Right. And that's actually the...
So she's
not,
she's getting her second shot on Thursday.
Yeah.
Cool. You know...
I felt like I needed to get vaccinated at the earliest opportunity because Bryn is going to be back teaching in person. And although her vaccine protects her,
right,
people who have been vaccinated can still transmit.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'm definitely not saying that I'm, you know, safe, but mm-hmm. my level of risk is significantly lower.
Is lower.
And yeah. I am also not in a risky demographic. You know, I am reasonably healthy. You know, I don't have asthma. You know, if I do have it, if I haven't already, mm-hmm. I have a much higher chance of getting through it. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I will get the jab, but
yeah,
I'm not, like, I desperately need this
yeah.
right now.
No, for me, just a series of compounding risks, and also that collapsing timeline of Bryn going back to teach middle schoolers in person this coming month. I knew that I had to go for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the main thing, is that every situation is different. Like, you have to look at it in context of the individual situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually been kind of hard with, like, there are certain friends, people within our social circles that can get very, I'm trying to find the right word. They have so much concern over this that it can be a little, I don't want to say one-sided. I don't want to say narrow-minded, although that's closer, but a very, very singular focus mm-hmm. on how things get done. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's really hard to have people be like, oh, you're horrible if you're not doing all of these things. And it's like, but I'm not, I swear I'm not a bad person. I'm still being safe. I'm in my bubble. I'm doing all my things. Can you please not call me a bad person for not fitting into your very focused definition of what should be happening? Okay, thanks.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not saying this has come up a few times.
But maybe it's come up a few times?
It may have come up a few times. I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, but congratulations on getting vaccinated, James.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for you, because I know that that's a big thing for you in your context and your scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so.
Yeah. It's, I don't know that I have completely processed emotionally or mentally, you know, what this means and how to feel about it, and I probably won't for a few days.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it really doesn't change anything until you get the second one anyway.
I mean, it does. Even though it's not the highest percent of coverage, it does dramatically increase your resistance.
Sure.
And lower the symptoms almost immediately. But
yeah.
Even so, like, I haven't processed the reality of this yet.
Yeah. CDC recommendation is to keep doing what you're doing until after the 2 weeks after the second shot, I think.
Yeah,
yeah, it's 2 weeks.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yep.
Unless you get the J&J, fingers crossed.
And then you can just go and fuck a stranger that day.
In the Alps.
No, you still need to wait 2 weeks.
Oh.
And then you can fuck a stranger.
Fuck a stranger in the Alps? Okay.
Yeah.
This is what happens. This is what happens, Larry. Yeah.
No, I can't tell that story. God damn it.
About finding a stranger in the Alps? Now I am intrigued.
Kind of. Joe was being Joe.
What?
My half-Chinese boyfriend was talking about if people really wanted to support the Asians, and I'm just not going to tell the rest of that story.
Because it's a Joe story, and we all know.
Because it's a Joe story.
We all know Joe.
I'm just going to let your imaginations fill it in, and you may or may not be as offensive as my boyfriend was with that.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say probably not.
All right.
Not because I can't think of very offensive things, but Joe always seems to make me feel inadequate in that realm. It's like
Blanche. Yeah.
I mean, Salsa, I wouldn't feel bad about it. I don't know of all of the things that you could feel bad for, and they are numerous. I don't think that measuring up to Joe's offensive scale is one of them. I just wouldn't. Yeah, don't try.
No, it's that way lies madness.
It's true.
I can count two times he's offended people today. And I haven't even seen him today.
And the thing is yes, he offends you, but you laugh.
It's like, because you know he doesn't mean anything by it. Mm-hmm. And even if he did mean anything by it, he's not going to be able to do anything about it if he does. So, like, eh? It's like a toddler flailing its fists at you. It's just not, it doesn't matter. Oh, look at you, little buddy. Oh, yeah.
That's right. When Jenna steps in and says, look, toddler, I am a professional fight choreographer, and...
I mean, so my daughter.
Okay.
My daughter's been learning fight stuff since she was born, because that's
quite literally
what I do. Mm-hmm. I did actually, like, I taught her certain games at a young age that translate over to stage combat. Mm-hmm. But there was one day she was mopping the floors or something, and I said something snarky to me. Or snarky to her, and she pointed the broom at me like she was going to attack me with it, and I was like, "Don't hunch your shoulders."
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And like,
yeah,
yep. Like I feel like I've said similar to her throughout her many stages of development, and toddler may have been one of them. Salsa,
story check now.
Wait, unless James, if you had anything else, I don't know.
Oh,
but
I have thoughts and feelings about Ready Player 2, but I'm not done with it yet, so I don't know. I don't know, and it didn't come out that long ago, so I don't really want to like get shoulder deep into it, unless people have read
it. Let me ask this one question though, because there was Ready Player 1.
Yes.
And now you're not finished with, but are involved with Ready Player 2.
Right.
Do you think Ready Player 2 is as good? Does it seem to be keeping pace with Ready Player 1?
I
can't tell right now, because that's a fine answer too.
I feel like it is a different flavor.
Okay.
I feel like it has a lot of the same things.
Okay.
And like, if you like tacos, then quesadillas are a different thing with the same components.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And maybe you'll love it. Maybe you'll like it more. Maybe you'll fucking hate it. I don't know. I would say it's a tacos v a quesadilla situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good non-spoilery review. Well done, James.
I do what I can.
Mm. So, Salsa, what have you been up to?
Aside from injuring myself a lot, was doing some stuff around the house yesterday, and my kids had left their boots laying around like they do. And I stepped on it like you do, and rolled my ankle like you do. I was.
Did you have one of those conversations with your kids that's like, and this is why we don't leave our boots lying around, because otherwise you injure your parents.
I don't think rational communication was my forte at that point in time.
Sure. Sure.
So, no.
Okay.
I just kind of avoided talking to them very much until they went to bed.
All right.
Fair enough. Which we had a die laughing meeting at that point anyway, so it was just kind of like an excuse for me to not pay attention to anything else. So.
Right. That's fair.
But anyway, that's one thing that happened. What else have I been up to? I did a bunch of. It's been warm enough that I've got back into the garage and did some work on my lathe. Over the winter, I have been doing a lot of resin work. Taking some of the wooden pieces that I have that were destined for resin and getting those poured and lined up so that now that it is warm enough, I have many blanks, to turn. And I have started turning, a bowl out of a beautiful, burl with purple resin. And it is so gorgeous right now. I am so happy with how it is turning out. I really, really hope that I don't fuck it up at the 11th hour. but yeah, I am having good times with that. The other thing is, my wife and I spent a lot of money.
Oh.
In July, we are going to be going to the East Coast.
Oh.
My wife's father's brother, so her uncle, lives near Philadelphia.
Okay.
Sister's cousin, three times removed.
No, her uncle on her father's side.
All right.
Lives in Philadelphia, near Philadelphia, and so we're gonna fly into Philadelphia. It'll be my kid's first experience on a big jet airliner, and they're really excited about that. And then we're going to go, you know, visit her uncle and her grandpa, who, you know, let the kids meet them. And then go to a beach house for 4 days.
Oh, wow.
And just for 4 days, live in a house, two houses down from the beach in Ocean City, New Jersey.
Nice.
Oh, yeah? What do they have there?
Yeah, it sounds terrible, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm so sorry for you.
Yeah. I don't know how my kids are going to manage.
Right.
So between the flying on a plane and swimming in the ocean, they are out of their minds and... we only have to wait another 3 months for that. So,
who is that all?
So hopefully,
I still haven't seen the ocean.
Hmm. Oh,
but you got to fly a plane.
I did get to fly in a plane, and I might have been able to see the ocean from the plane if it wasn't the dead of night.
Yeah,
but it was, and I didn't. Mm-hmm. The end.
So, I do need to get my shot before then.
Yes.
But that is a thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we take a break?
Yes.
Yeah, we can do that.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back, as per usual.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter, at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
It'll be fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
I'm sure it's fine.
I'm not drunk. You're drunk.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm chow. God damn it, don't do that while I'm drinking.
Well, then don't drink.
We'd never start recording again. No, that's fair. Never mind. I take it back.
Have not thought this.
Oh, God. You guys, this weekend, Joe and I, speaking of drinking, Joe and I, I could stop right there, but I'll keep going. We did some, St. Patrick's Day is kind of a big holiday for me in many ways. Like, it hits certain holiday spots for me, and there's certain traditions that I like to do, and some of those I wasn't able to do this year. But over the weekend, Joe made Guinness stew. Yeah, and I made Prady's, which is a specific recipe from working the Irish Cottage, growing up at the Irish Cottage at the Renaissance Festival, which is like mashed potatoes with like butter and sour cream and chives. Only we used fake butter and fake sour cream because of my dietary stuff. But it still tastes really, really good. And so things about Joe. Joe used to play in an Irish folk band, or at least an Irish folk punk band, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Because he's not just a classically trained pianist. pianist. He's not just a classically trained piano player. Jesus fucking Christ. What's going on? But Joe is also an accordion player. I'm confused. Anyway, God damn it. But no, he also plays accordion, which
accordion
in my mind.
To who?
Oh my God. I can't even tell you to go away because you push the buttons. Fuck.
I hurt James's feelings. I'm so proud of me right now.
Wow.
I mean, that almost makes it better.
Salsa.
But anyway, that's fine. In my brain, like classical piano and anything accordion, like, are so diametrically opposed. But I understand technically how similar the instruments are.
Sure.
And how the music theory and everything else just kind of carries over from one instrument to another. Like, I understand it. But, like, it's just like, let's listen to some beautiful Bach on piano. And now let's listen to a polka on an accordion. Like, they're just like, what?
Slight difference.
Yeah. But, yeah, so Joe used to play accordion for an Irish band. And so like we were playing Irish music playlists in the background while we were cooking foods.
Right.
And then Joe pulled out his old binder from when he was in an Irish band. Hi. That was later. So anyway. take that. No. What? Anyway.
Oh.
But old music from when he was in this Irish band, like set lists and things like that, had all this information. And so he just started going through and like trying to remember how to play things that he hadn't played in like 3 years. And... You guys, like, it's such a... I'm weird, I think is what it comes down to. But there was just something so nice about just sitting there listening to my boyfriend playing Irish music on an accordion. And that's not that's not everybody's romantic.
No, yeah.
Like, being 3 feet away from an accordion just isn't a romantic setting. Like, that's just not...
Sure. Could be worse. It could be a bagpipe.
It's true. Like, it wasn't a bag... But, like, taking bagpipes out of the equation, like... Is there another instrument that you can think of that might be worse? Now I'm curious, actually.
Now what I other- want...
A piano forte.
Okay.
I like piano forte.
I like piano forte, but it's not a very romantic sound.
No. There's the kazookie-lele, which is...
What?
It's a ukulele with a child's toy piano and a kazoo as one thing.
How?
It's one instrument.
And this is a thing that people have actually made and played.
Yes, there is at least one person who has built several of them and does a pretty compelling, italicized, maybe with some scare quotes around it, compelling rendition of Final Countdown, Europe's Final Countdown.
Oh god, that is a terrifying looking instrument.
Yes. Yeah, and now I'm wondering if there's is a bagpipe plus an accordion just a melodica, or is there more that can be done to horrify? Because if you had like a bagpipe plus an accordion, would this be a set of bagpipe canters and a pipe that are driven by the hand-pushed bellows, or would it be an accordion that you squeeze under one arm?
I have to go with the first one.
They make, like, Illen pipes use a bellows that you squeeze under your arm.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
That's the Irish, more Irish traditionally version of the bagpipes, right? Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, there's that. But that's still a bagpipe squozing under an arm with a bellows, and I'm wondering if there's something somehow worse that we could make from this.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. The worst part about the quote-unquote worst part about a bagpipe is the sliding keys and the drone that may or may not
be in
work with what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
The worst part about the accordion is the accordion. No, I take that back. Mm. The
players. The worst part about the accordion is the players.
Well, I mean... Anyway, so... but it's kind of also that drone thing that happens with the chords. Like, you have the chord buttons, and you get this droney noise that happens when you're doing that.
Yeah.
And those are... Oddly, those are features, not bugs. Like, that is as designed, but it's still weird. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense, it's still like, meh. So I think if we're going to make the ultimate awful instrument based off of bagpipes and accordion, we have to keep the very, very droney chords from the key chord thing on the one side. But then maybe grab the slidey pipe thing instead of the keys on the other side of the bellows. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think that would do it.
Okay, now I want to combine the three instruments.
You would.
No, you don't.
The melodica, the accordion, and the bagpipes.
I found in my brain, I just thought of the least sexy instrument in my mind. The hurdy-gurdy.
Really? I disagree.
I like the hurdy-gurdy.
I enjoy the hurdy-gurdy, although it still has that drony quality
to it, which it does.
I find it way less
annoying than a bagpipe, though.
But it's also called a hurdy-gurdy. And how do you be sexy with something named
hurdy-gurdy?
Oh, I can be really cheesy cute with a hurdy-gurdy.
Hey, baby. You want me to come over to your place later and I will serenade you with my hurdy-gurdy?
I feel like if you saw the performer Patty Gurdy...
Sorry, it doesn't even sound sexy there.
That your impressions might change. Or Willem Desk. That you would probably...
Well, that actually sounds like a name, so...
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I don't think Patty Gurdy was her birth name. She obviously changed it to Patty something, you know?
Why would you do that?
Well, originally, she was Barbara Gurdy, and I just feel like...
Oh, no, Patty makes more sense, and that's her
yeah,
sense. No, you're correct.
Exactly.
Okay. God damn it.
Way better.
Because Barbie Gurdy just sounds... Like a
no,
meat
that's fair.
Tray.
That's fair. Obviously.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have problems. Like, and I actually enjoy hurdy-gurdy music, but like, I have problems taking any instrument called a hurdy-gurdy too seriously. You know what I mean?
When somebody says hurdy-gurdy, I don't think of an instrument. I don't. Just like when somebody says calliope, I don't think of an instrument. Now, calliope is named for a goddess, I think.
Calliope?
Yes. But the instrument is the calliope.
But, I just broke salsa.
Yeah, I believe it's pronounced...
No.
Calliope.
No.
That's the Minnesotan one. Calliope is the Minnesotan pipe organ. That's the one they use in hockey arenas, right?
In hockey arenas?
Hockey.
Hockey arenas.
Yeah. So okay. There's that. But
fuck you all.
No. When somebody says hurdy-gurdy,
going home.
I just think of like a tiny child, like the way that children run when they're trying to go super fast. And it's kind of pell-mell and like... They don't quite have their legs under them in any kind of rhythm, and their whole body is just flailing out behind them. That's kind of bandy-legged and, yeah, hurdy-gurdy.
If somebody told me that was called hurdy-gurdying or a hurdy-gurdy run, I would believe them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's a little bizarre, but I get it. I understand. Yeah.
So there's that, but also kind of a big fan of these instruments that have the droning quality or that have chord qualities to them as a result of drone I think it has something to do with my neurodivergence.
Okay.
Because I get frisson.
Okay.
From it, where I get goosebumps and it feels like electric current in my body, and it's really and I've found that some people have it much more strongly than I do, but they apparently get what's called stimming. They get stims or stimming from specific musical combinations and things like that. Like when I listen to the Andrews Sisters, the super tight triad harmonies, I get like a buzz from it. So I think that's...
So droning is somebody's drug?
I think so. Like it's definitely mine. Yeah.
What about the didgeridoo?
Yes, that too.
Not fun. Yeah. The didgeridoo.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm all right with it.
In particular, there's a
particularly against it. I just.
There's an Australian guy, and this is going to be a complete surprise to everyone, who is
I'm already shocked.
Somewhat of an expert with the didgeridoo. But I think his name is Mitch Cullen. But he plays a fingerstyle guitar and then or plays a guitar in the fingerstyle and then also plays the didgeridoo, like a triad of didgeridoos at the same time. And then beats on the guitar and on the didgeridoos and on his chest and knees and stuff. And it's really visceral. And I absolutely get like the brrr in the back of my head from that. And then the album Loud from the Wicked Tinkers. They have the Irish horn that's very similar to the didgeridoo, and holy fuck, that absolutely gets me. That yeah. There are a lot of musical pieces that, completely aside from connecting with me emotionally, like bodily, physically, charge me.
So, what you're telling me is if Joe is going to try to seduce you, he should mm-hmm. play accordion at you.
We assume that he hasn't already seduced
me.
Oh,
no, that's fair. That's fair.
There but. Is a song by Ashley MacIsaac.
Okay.
And I don't remember the name of the song right now, but it starts out with this really slow piano part. You know, for the first, like, minute, it's just the kind of slow, you know, kind of dreamlike piano. Mm-hmm. And then the piano picks up and starts going fast. And you've got this really fast, beautiful, it's still kind of going up and down scales and still just doing this beautiful thing. And then it speeds up and it speeds up and it speeds up, and then the drums and the violin kick in. And so you've got the piano Ooh. And the fiddle and the drums all just going crazy, just insane activity. And then, you know, it builds and builds and builds until it just crashes into a wall and turns into a completely different song. And Ooh. When that piano starts to speed up, it's that same thing for me, like James was saying, that frizzin, that goosebumpy thing. It's just like my whole body just goes, and I cannot help but move. It is impossible for me to sit still while this song is playing, because this song gets me every fucking time. classical music, a lot of classical music will also do that to me. Just goosebumps.
I'm of the classical music thing where, like, for me, it's about the swell and release.
Exactly, yeah.
That can happen in music. Yeah. And I think what James is describing might be similar, but still different.
Yeah.
Because I think there is, at least from my understanding, that for some people, different noises that are tied to music can affect how you're receiving it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to how the music is put together. It's not complete, but that's kind of what I'm hearing, is that there's you know, the drony aspect that James is talking about is definitely more of a noise-based thing that can up, and it can crash, and it can do all these other things, but it's more about the sound of the drone itself, the droning tone, mm-hmm. instrument-y thing, yep.
mm-hmm.
as opposed to how a piece mm-hmm. moves and swells throughout the course of its being performed.
Well, and in some cases, for some people, stimming happens when there's a super rapid fluctuation, either side to side or between two instruments, or you know, from, you know, the...
But it's still kind of a noise-based thing, right?
It can be. For me, the triad harmonies and of the Andrews sisters, like that's a musical thing. In some cases, when the composition takes a particular arc of predictability and it hits a harmonic, like right at the point where I predicted the note. And I can give a song as an example, Victims of Science. What the hell do they call it?
But what you're describing to me is if there's a predictability and then a change, that's more over the course of a piece. Whereas what I was hearing earlier, and I could be completely mishearing, so please tell me if I'm just making things up. But like a lot of the other things that you have described are more about the sound in an instant or a series of instances.
For me, it may be just the sound, and I know that
the noise, the whatever.
Yeah. For people who have particular mental architecture, entirely possible. For me specifically, it is music made with those instruments,
right?
And not just necessarily the sound itself, but like if somebody plays a bagpipe badly or just plays one note on a bagpipe,
that's not gonna get your jimmies and jitters.
Maybe the opposite of that. It might rustle my jimmies.
Oh God!
But somebody playing,
don't rustle your jimmies.
But somebody playing, for example, the same song on a piano would not have the same result, or would it?
It may not. The sustain
so it's a
pedal
combination.
Does like if somebody's playing a song that uses the sustain pedal where the note just continues to loft, it doesn't have the dampers that stop the strings from moving, so you get this continuous like harmonic flow across the notes that have already been played. To me, that's really great.
Okay.
I love that most of the time. There are times when it becomes overwhelming.
Yeah. Right. That is still more about the tonality to me as opposed to the composition of the piece.
Yeah. But for some people, it has nothing to do with the instruments, and it has everything to do with the editing, the mastering of it.
Okay.
For some people, it's the noise.
Salsa was talking about and more of the things that
But speaking for myself, the choice of instruments has a lot to do with it, which is one of the reasons that I constantly look for covers, and especially one of the reasons that I look for mashups.
Okay, so I've had this in my brain like for half of this conversation. Mm-hmm. The Piano Guys do a mashup of Fight Song and Amazing Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And they incorporate bagpipes into it. So it's piano and bagpipes.
I got chills just now.
Have you heard this song, James?
I have. And
it's one of my favorites. It just is. Like, I think it's just masterfully put together.
So I've known a few people who have a condition, and this is quick bookmarking what we're saying to fly off on some tangent real quick, because booze and also podcast. Right.
Do it. Go now. Go now. Stop making excuses. Go.
Some people have something called aphantasia,
mm-hmm.
which is the inability to, in your mind, make a picture of the thing you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And most people who have aphantasia, they don't know about it until somebody describes aphantasia to them, or somebody describes that they can do this
because
thing.
It's normal for them, yes.
Right, yeah. It's very much like, I assume, and don't know, it's probably a lot like being colorblind. Until you are presented with evidence that there is something different about the way that you see things, you don't know. But if you describe a pink triangle to someone with aphantasia, they can think about it. They can understand everything that there is to know about it, but they don't have a picture of it. They aren't seeing it in their head. Right. And the idea that
even if they've seen a pink triangle before,
if they have been to a place and you ask them to describe their childhood home, right? They don't, if I say childhood home, they don't see a picture of their house or their living room or anything. They don't see a picture at all.
Okay.
It's sort of like having no internal eye, having no internal, being blind internally. Based on my understanding of it.
Sure.
Not only do I not have aphantasia, but when people mention things, I see them, like you do, but I have the same thing for music. And so when people mention pieces of music that I've heard before, I will hear them.
You have a visualization of that piece of music.
Both a visualization and also I hear the sound.
Is it like a mental synesthesia type thing, or is it?
I know that I have like a real mild synesthesia, and this might be a different symptom of that. But I actually hear a recording of the performance inside my brain. And in the same way that if somebody said, juicy red apple, you might, if you don't have aphantasia, you would think of an apple that you've had. You might, you know, remember how it tastes and that kind of stuff, but you in your mind see a picture of
an apple.
An apple. Right.
It would be a juicy
and I,
apple.
So if I say...
Right. I do. Whatever juicy looks like. It's a pair of sweatpants that says juicy on the butt.
Oh, there's also that. Damn. Now this got awkward.
Oops.
That apple is really starting to look sexy to me.
All right.
Anyway, so if I said Amazing Grace, do you now have the song Amazing Grace going through your head?
A very specific version of it, yes.
Okay.
Like one extraordinarily memorable rendition of it.
So earworms are just a thing that you live with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
So if I really wanted to be a dick, I could.
Now I've got
more than usual,
Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up in my head.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have,
I was gonna
you
say
have successfully
Baby Shark, so that might be better.
Accidentally
I don't know.
Rickrolled me.
Yeah. Yeah. Victory is mine.
But that's also one of the reasons that I will sometimes have to listen to a song several dozen times in a row. Because it's stuck in there. And for me, it's usually that I have like a never-ending loop of it because I don't know how the song goes in its entirety. I don't have a complete recording of it. And so one part leads back to the previous part.
Oh.
And it isn't until I have a complete internal recording.
Resolution.
And especially like if I don't know the words to it, that's the fucking worst.
It's the song that doesn't end.
No, that one's fine.
I wasn't going to say it because I didn't want to be a dick. What? Is that one fine?
Well, that one just goes on and on, my friend.
Yeah, it's...
Somebody started singing it.
I don't know what it
was. It's got like 36 words to it, and the actual song itself is like 15 seconds long. It's not a bad song. I don't get Baby Shark stuck in my head, and I don't get a lot of stuff stuck in my head for that. But like, The Impossible Dream, Pink Floyd's Wish You Were
Man
Here.
This is really interesting.
The Man of La Mancha. Yeah, those get stuck in there until I, in order to get Man of La Mancha out of my head, I had to listen to it several times until I knew it by heart and had a complete recording of the version that I was listening to. And then I accidentally partially wrote a parody to Man of La Mancha in my head. And then until I wrote it down, that was just in there and I couldn't get rid of it. But then once that was down, I had relief.
It released.
It was 2:30 in the morning and I could just sleep.
Okay.
Yeah. But
I think it's really fascinating that those other songs aren't issues. But
because they're just loops. Like they're designed to be a loop.
Yes, but James, it is the song that doesn't end.
Yeah, it goes on and on, you assholes.
But because some people started singing it not knowing what it was.
And they will continue singing it forever.
Just because, right. So the
because it's the song that doesn't end.
Do either of you have that for any of your senses? Like, when I hear certain pieces of music, I get goosebumps from it. And if I think of that piece of music, it will give me goosebumps again. I can almost on command give myself goosebumps.
Well, again, this Ashley McIsaac piece absolutely does for me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is there like a flavor or a smell?
No, I don't have flavors or smells. I'm a smoker.
All right, let's be clear. Fair.
That's not a thing. Mm-hmm. So it's sight, sound, and touch would be the things. I don't think I really have. There are certain touches that are kind of goosebumpy for me. I'm much more of a chalkboard person, nails on a chalkboard person, where there are certain sounds that will put me on edge.
Thanks for that.
Sorry.
And I mean, but it's not as bad as in my head as it is in reality.
Thinking of certain sounds or situations will put me on edge. Thinking of certain touches will put me on edge. And like very, very unpleasantly so. Until I'm able to remove it by thinking of something else. And I've taught myself a lot of good tricks on how to just stop thinking about the majority of things that set me on edge.
But it's a don't think about a white bear scenario.
No, there are tips and tricks on how to not think about it. Like, but yes, I will inevitably think about it for at least a certain period of time.
Sure.
The trick is to reduce the amount of time.
Fair.
If you try to fight it, it's just worse.
Here comes a thought.
You accept that this is happening. You go, all right, I am scraping ice off of a windshield. That is a horrifying touch sound to me.
Oh.
It is awful. I hate it. It just sets everything.
You live in the wrong state for this.
I know, right?
Do you have misophonia with people crunching and chewing and drinking things?
No, I don't have problems with people eating or drinking. I don't have problems with anything. Sometimes with chewing the ka-chunky chunky, like if they're biting into something really hard and it's that snappy chunk kind of sound. That can be a little bleh. But no, it's not nearly as bad as scraping ice off of a windshield. I can't even describe how just awful that is for me. But I live, as Salsa said, I live in Minnesota and I drive and I need to, so I need to figure out a way to get the fuck over that. And there's kind of a, it's not really a dissociation, but it's like a related thing where you just kind of separate yourself out from it a bit to get the fucking job done.
Interesting.
So yeah, no, it's horrifying to me. If you had to for 5 minutes, if you had problems with nails on a chalkboard, if you had to scratch your own nails on a chalkboard for 5 minutes. It's like that.
Well, doing it's anything for 5 minutes is interminable to me.
Well, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Well, no, but, like, that's what scraping ice is. That's why sure. I'm just so... I need that garage parking spot. Sure. God damn it. I need it.
See, this is fascinating to me because with my ADD, like, I don't hold on to things.
Hmm.
You know, like, I'm...
And you haven't hyper-focused?
I do hyper-focus, but when I'm hyper-focused, I'm hyper-focusing on a thing, like I'm a task that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not hyper-focusing on a feeling or an emotion or something like that. I'm hyper-focusing on a thing that I am doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, mm-hmm. if I am playing a video game, or if I am working in the garage on my lathe, or if I am, you know, reading a book, you know, that is the thing I will hyper-focus on. But this often baffles people because I will often not eat during the day, because will go, oh, I'm hungry, and then I will just forget. Hmm. And that's something that people don't understand, is how can you forget that you're hungry? You're still hungry. And I go, no, I forgot the fact that I was hungry.
Right.
Or that I forgot the fact that I was in pain, or I forgot the fact that I, you know, felt sad, or or any of these, you know, these, like, you know, the fingernails on the chalkboard or the balloon thing, I'll be like, and then, like, as soon as it's done, I'm just on to the next thing, you know?
Hmm.
Nope, I'm already like, no, I'm
sorry. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, that's fine. It's fine. I'll get over it. In fact, let me focus on the point that I was going to make. That'll help. So, like, I think a lot of people, when they say ADD, I have had a lot of people in my life with ADD.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say the vast majority of the people in my life have had ADD, honestly.
To a certain degree.
And it's like, Bill was the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Just straight up was the worst of anybody I have ever met. And I know all of you and all of the people that you know, and Bill was still the worst.
Mm-hmm.
That just straight up is a thing. But everybody manifests ADD differently, and a lot certainly. Of people think that ADD is a distraction mm-hmm. type thing, and they don't connect it with a focus based thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because there's you know, I know some people with ADD that like use tips and tricks to help them, quote, regain their focus,
mm-hmm.
to control their focus, right?
Mm-hmm.
What? I trust you. I do. I just, I have...
Yeah.
What?
Did you not know that there are tips and tricks and things that you can do to try to help you refocus yourself?
I know that that I do to refocus myself, but... That's more like if the square peg doesn't fit in the round hole, you get a hammer. That's my tip or my trick for refocusing my attention when I am having trouble with focusing.
Or I think maybe trying to just maybe get through a task might be a better way of saying it. But like, for some people, like, I have to do this thing. And they start writing because writing will help them visually see what's happening so that they can then start to come up with, like, a checklist or something. And they have that visual thing to help them get through the task. Or, I mean, yeah, like, there are things out there to help people navigate ADD.
Mm-hmm.
But... Blessings on your house. Blessings on your family. But there are things, and everybody has to find their own tools because it is such a broad thing. Not everybody ADDs in the same way.
No, yeah.
Right? Like, a lot of people, you know, most people hyper-focus or distract-focus, scatter-focus, whatever. But, like... People have different levels, different
mm-hmm.
areas of hyperfocus and scatter focus. Like it's all up to the individual, which means that the tool sets to be able to deal with that are specific to the individuals.
Yep.
Right.
That's my outsider viewpoint.
No, it's okay. I was more than happy to let you woman explain that to us.
You're welcome, assholes.
Or would this be neurotypical spleen? I don't know. Whatever.
I mean, I'm not neurotypical, but I also don't have ADD. Or maybe I do, and I just have tricked my brain real good. I don't know.
Well, we did touch on a lot of things, and I think the listeners, I'm sure, maybe one or two of them has something to say about that topic. So we will throw this open. Yeah. Of course, as always, dear listeners, put something on the Facebooks about it. Let us know what you think about the nonsense that we've been spewing. We're going to take a break, and then we will be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. And check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
It's a good thing I wasn't recording any of that. Or was I? We're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And it's time for Fast Five.
Fast Five. I'm so tired and drunk.
Good Lord. We should probably get through this pretty quick then, so we
can... Oh, God. Listeners, the next few weeks might be a little exciting. or not exciting. I don't know.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Dennis Zastara.
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 Zastara. Zastara. Zastara.
Dennis says, okay. So
wait,
I guess.
Pause. Oh. Someday we're all going to be in the same room and we're all going to do it at the same time, and Dennis is going to be so happy.
No, someday we're going to be in the same room and we're going to very purposely not do it at the same time because
so you're going to purposefully
fuck everyone.
Dennis starts this email by saying, okay, so I guess I don't have any lawful evil exploitation of your silly rules, and I'm giving up being an asshole for Lent, so, you know.
Jenna's allergic to queso.
Anyway, here's five binary questions sans context. Question number one. The cis, C-I-S, the cis, or the straights?
The straights.
I gotta go with straights, I think.
I wonder if this is going to be like a Scissor Sisters or Dire Straits question, but also... The thing I'm having a problem with right now are the people who are calling themselves super straights.
Oh,
it's
God.
It's fucking disgusting.
I'm sorry, what?
The super straights.
Which is...
It's a new way to say transphobic.
Oh.
It really
yeah.
is.
That's, yeah.
That's
gross.
That's
all. It's a new way to say bigoted fuckface. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gross, and I don't like it.
I don't... God damn it. None of the above. All of the above. Fuck.
Question number two. All of the above or none of the above?
Wait, really?
No.
That would be
horrible. That would have been a masterstroke if they wrote that question. Shit.
That would be amazing, but
oh,
no.
Oh, God damn it.
They are not that prescient.
The cis or the straight?
Dennis has become the podcast.
I feel like straight people in general have a better understanding of not straight things than cis people in general have a better understanding of trans. So, on the... Right.
And the cis straights are just fucking idiots.
Yeah. so, I mean, I think I'm going to go cis confusion is more frustrating. Prevalent, perhaps. Yeah. I'm going to say cis.
Okay. Question number two. Bicycle or pancake?
Queen's bicycle versus something.
What?
Was there a song with the word pancake in it?
What is this? Queen's bicycle?
The band Queen wrote a song called Bicycle.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. I think this is a buy or pan thing. Specifically, it's the dumber joke. So you're bisexual, does that mean you're attracted to bicycles? Versus, so you're pansexual, does that mean you're attracted to pans? And I think the pan attraction is more prevalent and more annoying.
I do prefer eating pancakes, though.
That's true. If given the choice between do you want to go ride bikes or do you want to eat pancakes?
I would also rather fuck a pancake than a bicycle.
Okay. Whoa, hold on. What kind of bicycle? All right? Because if it's like a fat tire bike, I'm only human.
The village bicycle. Duh.
I mean...
That makes sense. I'm going to go pancake. I think it's the dumber joke. Or the more prevalent joke.
I'm going to go pancake.
The more prevalent stupid joke, perhaps.
Based on Tim Wick and Duck Washington's family-friendly Pulp Fiction, in which a character played by friend of the podcast, Bryn Berryhill, said, "I've been making pancakes all morning until my battery-operated whisk ran out." Yeah, in reference to masturbating, apparently. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with the masturbation joke.
I understand and I appreciate it.
Yeah. I'm going with the masturbation joke.
Which is
pancakes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I did not follow any of what you All right, question.
I did, but only because I was there.
Different from usual because.
Right.
Question number three. Snow or water? I like snow.
I don't.
I like snow skiing better than water skiing.
I found that cross-country water skiing is much more difficult. But downhill water skiing is almost non-existent.
Are you kidding? Oh, down a waterfall?
I really think that that's more falling with skis on.
It's a great sport, but you can only do it once.
Right. That.
If you gotta go with a smile.
I would rather have a rainstorm than a snowstorm.
Oh, the sound of a rainstorm. The sound of a rainstorm is really good.
It's got a great.
The sound of a snowstorm is amazing, though, too.
Nope, don't like it.
Oh, really?
Just that
deadening, like, calm stillness?
The soft static of snow falling?
Nope.
Just muffling everything? I don't know.
I don't like it. I don't want it. It makes me think there's going to be ice on my windshield the next day. I don't want it.
maybe it's if you were awakened in the middle of the night, which one of these would you be able to ignore? Snow, static on the TV, or water dripping in a bathroom sink or something like that? or the like the toilet just cycling.
See, that's an esoteric I can get behind.
Yeah. Also kind of a red herring of a question, because I sleep like I have died.
Right.
You wake nothing, like you've died, too.
Nothing will wake me up.
Don't think there's any... Yeah.
Yeah. All right. If that was the question, I would go with snow. But I think it's going to be which storm do you prefer, and I'm going to go with rain.
Maybe so.
Okay. Or water, or whatever.
James?
Darude's snowstorm is what I'm going to...
You're going to snow?
Is the sequel to Darude's... The long-awaited sequel to Sandstorm is Darude's snowstorm.
All right.
Question number four. Corn or flour?
I prefer flour tortillas.
As do I. That's the first thing that pops into my head is tortillas.
I like corn chips.
I like
crispy corn.
Yeah, I'm not fond of corn tortillas.
But
if I had to
flour.
Choose between Soundgarden and corn for late 90s, early 2000s, I would go Soundgarden. So flour.
Sure. I get it. I had to think about it, but I got it.
Yeah.
I got there. That's fine.
All right, so we're all... All right. Question number five. Hot or cold?
Hot.
I prefer hot tea.
I'm fine with either tea, but in general, hot.
Cold tea is usually in the summer.
I don't like being cold. I want things hot. I've been having cold tea all winter.
Huh.
The raspberry cold gold peak that I was telling you guys about. Yeah.
They say that what you should actually do is drink the tea that has a temperature that matches the season, and that it will help your body to regulate your internal temperature more easily. Apparently.
Honey, I'm perimenopausal. Nothing's going to regulate this shit.
That's very fair. Or you're just going to slug a shitload of tea. So back and forth to the microwave and the freezer. Just back and forth, back and forth.
That's my day constantly. Anyway.
If I'm eating leftover pizza, I'm probably just going to leave it cold and then slather it with hot sauce.
I much prefer heating up pizza. I don't really like having cold pizza.
Neither does bread.
Once it gets cold, I'm with Jens on this one. Once it gets cold, it pretty much stays cold. There are times I will reheat a pizza depending on the pizza, but by and large, it's cold once it gets there. But I've decided that's not the context, so I'm going hot.
Fair. All right. We wrap this up by email.
Because the gamble is it this specific line of context, or is it pretty much any other context?
Right. Yeah, that's true. I was shocked that you liked cold pizza.
Salsa, were you trying to say something?
We wrap up this
head out
email.
On the highway.
I'm going to just
looking for adventure
hang up and finish the podcast by myself. We wrap up this email.
And whatever comes up.
Oh my God, James.
Okay, all right. All right, all right. I'm done.
He's literally going to reach through the call and kill you.
The email says, regards, Denny. Or Dennis, I suppose, if you're not French.
Where's the French?
Second email says, welcome back, Apropossi. Hope you had some fun discussing these. If I had to bet, I'm guessing at least one of these was actually guessed correctly, but who knows which?
What does Tibet have to do with it?
What?
So there's
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
All right. Anyway, what...
Question
what
number
got?
One, the cis or the straights?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't I have nice things?
The straight.
The cis.
It's the cis.
Oh, Well, I feel like you can be cis and gay or queer, but that if you're straight, you might...
This is my context, where it was the straights have a better, generally, a better ability to accept and understand queerness than mm-hmm. the cis do understand and accept transness. So I think cis is why Dennis can't have nice things.
Yeah, okay.
That's my understanding and interpretation. Also, you have a snake on your neck.
I do.
And it is adorable and cuddling you, and that's really cute.
It is. It's snuggling my neck.
Question number two. Bicycle or pancake? Which sexuality has the better flag? Bisexual or pansexual?
Bisexuals definitely have the better flag. Pants fucking down. I love our flag. It's all the colors the colors and the color gradient of the bisexual flag is beautiful, and I love it.
Wow.
And I might be biased, but I don't care. I love it, and it's mine. The end.
I just looked up the pan flag, and it's it's violently colorful.
It is violently which I think is another reason why I like the pan flag.
So
honestly.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but they're all just horizontal bars, right?
Yeah, but different colors.
Salsa,
so this
honey.
Might not mean anything to
you. Oh, okay.
Maybe you could count the number of horizontal bars to understand a little bit more. Maybe it's the number will give you a thing.
They both have three. I'm going to go pancake just because I like pancakes.
All right.
I have to go with, I think bisexuality has a better flag.
We came in early and we claimed it is basically what happened.
Yeah.
It has to do with that more gradient feel to me, honestly. And I think that each flag, to be very clear, each flag is actually pretty representative of the sexuality that they are representing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that woobly gradient in the bisexual flag that just...
That what?
Woobly gradient.
You just made that up.
Nope.
Is that a word?
It is now.
It is now. That's
I have used woobly
before.
That's
true.
You just Shakespeared that.
If nothing else, I didn't just make it up. I made it up a while
Fair
ago.
Fair enough.
Okay.
I think those might just be JPEG artifacts that you're seeing.
Have you seen, by the way, tangent, have you seen the David Tennant and what's his name? The other guy from
Oh shit, what's his name? Yeah.
You know mm-hmm. what I'm talking about. They do the little Zoom meeting videos. They were doing one is one of them was Shakespeare and the other one was Marlowe.
And he
said something and the other one was like, Shakespeare, are you making up words again?
Yes. Anyway. I saw that and it delights me.
Question number three. Snow or water? Ooh, close. Which is your preferred tubing method? Down snowy slopes or behind boats on a river?
Fuck.
Water.
Still going
river.
To snow.
I have to go with water on this. I love a lazy river.
Yeah.
Snow tubing is inferior sledding.
I'm going to say snow tubing is superior sledding.
I agree, it is superior.
If I compare tubing versus sledding, I prefer tubing. But also, on the scale of things that I enjoy doing, it might hit a two on a good day. So I would much rather be floating on a tube on a river, being towed behind a boat, or just lazily drifting, or whatever, than snow.
I'm all about the lazy river.
Okay.
I'm for it.
Question number four, corn or flour? Mm-hmm. What's your hard shell taco?
Oh, God damn it. Hard shell is corn.
Yeah, no, I agree.
How dare! How dare, Dennis! How dare!
I agree.
Is there a flour hard shell?
I haven't met it, but that
doesn't
mean
it doesn't exist.
It's got to exist.
Well, I think a hard shell flour is more like the gordita thing.
Oh,
where it's more like
shit.
A fry bread.
Yeah,
or when you get like a taco squid and it's in that bowl that is more of a flour shell than it is a corn shell.
That's really good.
You know what I mean? Mm.
I just don't like hard shell tacos, but I'll go with flour.
Right. Like we've had this debate. Yeah.
Corn hard shell.
Yeah, corn hard shell.
Well, I feel like we have gotten really, really, really close to guessing correctly, but we haven't quite gotten it. But that's okay, because we nailed number five, hot or cold, how do you like your tea?
Ah.
Yeah!
All right.
I both like tea that is the same temperature as me. And tea that is not the same temperature as me. That's a callback to an earlier episode where we talked about definitions on bisexuality. So anyway, yes. And I feel like not only have we had the tea conversation before, I feel like we've had the tea conversation in regards to sexuality before.
Possibly.
This feels... Yeah, I feel like this has happened. Anyway.
We've been doing this for so long. There's I get deja vu in these things so often. It's not even funny.
Right. I will lean hot. But I also like cold tea.
I
had some earlier today. It was great.
I almost unanimously drink hot tea.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I drink a lot more hot tea.
I recently just got an electric kettle to better facilitate my tea drinking needs.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. First one, of course, should be the context, or the choices, and the second one, repeat those choices, and then give us context. Who has a shout-out?
I want to give a shout out to Facebook Marketplace. And this is weird. But I discovered Facebook Marketplace, a few months back. And I kind of feel like I'm garage sailing on Facebook Marketplace.
Ooh.
I'm getting things at deals and whatnot. And it's just whatever random crap happens to be available. It's as if Craigslist and, I don't know, like Amazon or something had a baby. And
Ew. Now
I can easily get things shipped to me from a garage sale. And it's wonderful. Because I can't garage sale right now, and I am sad about that.
I have not been happy with their search algorithm.
Really?
I feel like whenever I try to search for something on Facebook Marketplace, I get a whole lot of stuff that isn't related in any way, shape, or form.
Sometimes I get stuff that's not related. Like, I a few weeks back may have done a search for Red Panda.
Odd.
Right?
What?
That's a thing I enjoy. But like there were some things that were red, you know, red pandas, and then there were some things that were red, and there were some things that were pandas.
Mm-hmm.
And there were even some pandas that were red, but they were not red pandas. I was very sad about that. Don't recommend. But yeah, like I feel like it's just hitting for keywords, and part of that is how it's described, and part of that is just Facebook is confused.
Mm-hmm.
So, but still, it's been filling that garage sale sized hole in my heart, and I'm really happy for it. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
So yeah.
Awesome. James?
I would like to give a shout out to friends of the podcast, frenemy of the podcast, Brianna Cecile, and friend of the podcast, Merritt, who helped me to find the clinic that gave me the shot in the arm.
Nice.
Yes.
Not a metaphorical shot in the arm, but a literal.
A very literal.
Very shot literal, still recovering, shot in the arm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like to give my shout out to my friend Christina, who made this booze for me.
No.
In exchange for some of that limoncello. It is muy bueno, and I like it very much. Ooh. All right. I don't suppose anybody has something to plug.
Oh.
Nobody?
Oh. Pick me.
No one?
Pick me. Ooh.
Nobody?
Ooh. Ooh, Jenna, if you need to use the bathroom, you can just go.
Yeah, okay. So while Jenna goes to the bathroom, we'll wrap this up. Yeah. Thank you so very much for everyone.
No, you son of a... does anybody have anything to plug other than Die Laughing?
I do.
Well, then you should plug that first, because I'm going to go on it.
Yeah, probably. All right. This Friday, Vilification Tennis, Cabin Fever. Ooh. Come join us on the evening of the 26th at 10 p.m. on Facebook, YouTube, and I believe also Twitch. Isn't that astounding? For our Cabin Fever show, we have been stuck inside for a very long time, and we're starting to feel it for 12 months. Right. Just starting to feel it for the entire last year. Right. And so there's that. And come join us for that. I will be co-hosting, which is, aside from telling people how fat their moms are, honestly, it's just so good. It's so much fun to co-host. So look for me there. I will look for you. And I hope that I will see you.
Yay! Salsa, anything?
No.
Cool. I actually have something outside of Die Laughing to plug, and then I'm going to plug Die Laughing.
All right.
But I was on a podcast that is not this podcast, but is a horror podcast. Oncoming Productions, which is known for producing a horror theater in the Twin Cities, because there is no theater in the Twin Cities right now, has started doing podcasting. And our friends over at Hot Chocolate Media have been helping them host and produce these podcasts and get them out to people. So quick shout out to them on that. They did a whole thing during Christmas. They had 13 different podcasts over the course of Christmas. But now they're starting to do podcasts based on a theme. And this new podcast is called Dead North. You can find it on your local podcasty. Dead North is they're going to do some regular, longer, like, so it's one podcast. I think this one was like an hour and a half, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one episode, but it has a few different stories in that
nice.
One episode.
Yeah.
As opposed to just a 10-minute episode, another 10-minute episode, another whatever. They just kind of put them all into one thing to fit that theme. So their latest one was Spring. And I was in a podcast, in a story produced by Big Fun Radio Funtime.
Nice.
Right. Including the voices of Tim Wick, Lolly Foy, and Charles Hubble. which is like just, I got to perform with these people. My lines were very, there was so much line memorizing to be had. I played a banshee that didn't speak. So go listen to that podcast to find out how I did that. And it was really fun too, as an aside, because Tim gave me an entire backstory on this fucking banshee. And I was like, this makes me so happy. I can't believe I got this much backstory on just doing this one little bit. And he's like, well, yeah, you have to have a backstory in a banshee. Come on. It was great. Anyway, so yeah, go listen to that. It's, the show was called Spring Cleaning as a part of the Dead North, spring episode. Yeah. And then the other thing that I have to plug is something that Salsa has never heard of before. Die laughing. What?
Oh, is that the Klingon thing?
I'm going to stab you. I can't right now because there's an adorable noodle on you. But adorable danger noodle. But oh my God, it's kissing you right now. That's so cute. I'm so
it's giving you little kisses.
Oh my God. Anyway, okay. But Die Laughing is in 2.5 weeks. There are, 26 shows, I think, over the course of 25 streaming hours. Oh, wow. We will have accessible content on the website. There is a silent auction. There are challenges. It's all coming at you in just 2.5 weeks. So. Make sure we will share the Facebook event with you guys. You can also just look up anything you need to look up on dielaughingmarathon.com.
Dielaughingmarathon.com.
We will be getting information on that website as soon as we have it and it's available. The silent auction is launching about Easter time. So that's a thing to look for. We'll also have a merch shop where you can buy Die Laughing merchandise this year. Again, this is a fundraiser for Fearless Comedy Productions, which all three of us have been involved with. Two of us are founding members. Ha-ha. And there's not a lot of us founding members left, but we're here. but yeah, and it's going to be wonderful. I'm personally involved in at least 2 shows this year. And I'll share those. I'll do that next week. Next week we'll talk more.
Okay.
In depth about what we're doing as individuals. But dielaughingmarathon.com.
.com.
Thank you, gentlemen. Yep.
All right.
I think that's all I have to plug.
Cool. Where are we? Is that everything?
I
lost track.
Also, bye.
Oh, okay.
You,
so,
bye,
final
bye,
thoughts.
Bye, bye. All
right, cool. In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who's been listening. Thank you, obviously, to Dennis Estetta for the Fast Five. Hello. Keep them coming.
Yes,
on behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.